When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Brett and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
EverBank Stadium. It's stadium, right? Or is it field?
Stadium.
Stadium. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You like field or stadium better? For some reason, EverBank Field just kind of rolls off the tongue a little better.
Stadium.
Stadium for Nick of the Daytime, okay.
I don't like when they do... like stadium and then name the field. Like, have you seen that? Like Denver does that. It's like something, something field at Mile High Stadium.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah,
we're all
yeah,
set.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll go stadium.
Yeah. I mean, everyone calls it the bank anyways. So it's not like,
yeah, you know.
But
it
yeah.
It's weird though with nothing on it though, huh?
Doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's been home to a couple country concerts and everything.
Oh yeah.
Did you go to any of those?
Nah. Hot outside.
Didn't go see George Strait.
Nah.
Well, I mean, this is a while ago, Casey, but yeah.
Still hot outside.
Luke
Combs.
Still hot outside.
You went to Luke Combs?
Yeah.
You went
to Tennessee? I didn't really go for Luke. I went for his openers.
Who are the openers? First of all, how are you going to disrespect?
What?
No, who says Luke's I didn't go great. For the main attraction? I
Luke
went for the openers.
Great.
Luke came out on stage. I left. That's what Nick said. Said I was only here for Jordan Davis.
Trying to beat the traffic. Who'd you see?
There was, I think the Wilder Blue. It's a really small band. We caught half of the other one that came up after them. Charles Wesley Godwin, and then Cody Jinks. Both of those guys I went for.
Cody Jinks?
Yeah. Yes. And then Luke was just...
sounds like
Luke
a country name.
Was
yeah.
whatever.
He was whatever.
It was fun. It was like whatever. It was there. It was like...
Dude.
Oh. I'm a bigger fan of the other guys. Let me bring this on camera.
Yeah, put yourself on camera. Don't hide behind... No, put yourself in the middle of the chat before we get into football talk.
Here, I'm here.
By the way, you hope to see EverBank Field get packed... what's the second game of September it's going to be against the Cleveland Browns, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the schedule like a million times, so I should know it by now. But yeah, that's going to be September 15th. Yes. I'll go with it. September 15th, Cleveland Browns in EverBank Stadium.
Gonna be warm.
But Nick of the Daytime, go ahead and try to defend yourself here for saying Luke Combs is mid.
I never said he was mid.
No, you did.
Oh, I never said
he was
mid.
Whatever. Meh.
I would put Luke above Garth if we're being honest.
Good thing Brent's not here.
I hope Brent clips this and hears it.
Luke Combs ahead of Garth Brooks, just in terms of
because I just want to fabricate
songwriting.
This Garth hatred.
I mean, Nick,
right
be more specific. Like, listen, I'm with you with the Garth Brooks every once in a while, but like, I can't come with you on that, man. It's Garth Brooks.
Colding Sellout Stadium's big whoop. He's got four albums from the big 90s, and that's what
whoop.
He lives off of.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Those are fighting words.
I was Brent was here.
Honest words.
Brent might
Brent
be calling
call the ninja.
Brent's on the road right now, going to probably to LA to watch a game, and just gonna swerve right off it after that comment.
This
here.
Dude loves him some Garth Brooks, bro.
No, for
and
sure.
Look, I own, honest to God, all of Garth's the main four albums from the 90s on vinyl because I'm a Garth fan.
You have vinyl?
Yes.
How old are you, Nick, in the daytime?
25. I've always been told him, quote, an old soul.
I mean, the dude's listening to vinyl music. He spends 2 weeks in trying to do, you know, a review of a product before he buys it. I cannot get a read on this guy whatsoever, Casey.
Not even a little bit.
This guy's a wild card, and I don't like it.
Because he does very old things, but then he'll goof around and talk to the Arctic Stumpy. It's like, well, that's not old at all.
A gamer.
Like, are you
stay
my age, Casey? Or you're closer to my age?
Stay in a lane, Nick.
I'm 26, yeah.
Okay, if you played Call of Duty as a kid, you probably know who Scumpy is.
I played Call of Duty religiously, and I have no idea who this guy is.
No clue.
Religiously, like back in the day, like 2010 and on?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I mean...
He wasn't watching Breaking Bad. He had plenty of time.
Hey, wasn't watching a lot of my my plays or going to my playbook. It was a lot of Call of Duty zombies, actually, I was killing. So.
What's your favorite map?
The zombies?
Yeah.
Oh, theater, man. Go the old school. Come on, the original, theater? The OG. Yeah, the theater.
So, oh,
doesn't even
theater,
know what it is.
I got you.
Doesn't even know what it is.
No, you said theater. It's Kino der Toten. Come on, buddy. That was prime peak life for
check
me.
Check out Nick in the
I
daytime
middle
on
school.
Twitch. I assume that's what it was called. We just called it the theater, man. Didn't have time for pronunciations. Say it one more time.
Kino.
Say the whole thing.
Kino der Toten, I think.
A.
I don't know what that means.
Say it like you said it the first time with really confidence.
Kino der Toten.
There it is.
It sounds like one word.
All right. Well, getting back on track here, and speaking of confidence, Eric Armstead.
Yeah.
The past week or so has had some confident remarks about Trayvon Walker that, if you're a Jaguars fan, you love to hear. Quoted saying that he believes Trayvon Walker could be the best edge rusher in the entire NFL. Now, Josh Allen going, hey, but
right here,
but you love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my question about that to you would be, is it even possible that in the amount of time that they've been together, that he could possibly know that? Like, what do you see from someone in a mini camp OTA setting that Eric Armstead would be like, oh yeah, he's got X?
No, I mean, you know, when you play the same position in the NFL, or like you're on the defensive line, you know, when you're watching an opponent, you usually put on different film from different teams, right? So maybe Trayvon Walker has popped up on film a couple times for Eric Armstead. Maybe they watched film together from last season, what Trayvon Walker does. Maybe he just looks at Trayvon Walker and says, this guy is huge. This guy is big. He seems athletic. He's going to be a star. I mean, I'm not sure what went into all the criteria, but what we've seen as a fan base or people watching Trayvon Walker is you saw a guy come in his first, like, I'll never forget this. His first, I want to say his first game was against Washington. First, second yes, game. It was. His preseason game.
No, it was week one.
Was it week one?
Yep.
Week one or week two?
Of his rookie career? Okay.
Yeah, they went to Washington.
Okay, and he had the sack. Yeah, okay.
Interception.
Okay,
they
correct.
Lost.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I don't think I was doing the show, but I shouldn't have been. Yeah. But I remember watching that saying, oh, this guy is about to like set the league on fire, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're always going back and forth, and we kind of shared the same agreement here, Casey. We were more fans of Kayvon Thibodeau, but we understood that was like the ultimate boomer bust play. And at the number one pick, you weren't going to risk it for the biscuit when you needed a bona fide, certified edge rusher. And I think we both agreed Hutchinson was probably the more NFL-ready from day one, which he had a pretty good rookie year. Now they're really comparable between Trayvon and Hutchinson. But I wasn't upset they took Trayvon Walker. Now, I wanted to see them use him correctly, and I was worried about that. And that Washington game when he, you know, was just blowing up in the backfield, I'm like, oh, this guy's going to have a 10-sack season rookie year. Gets off to a great start. Goes a little quiet during the middle of the year, and I think finishes with what? I think it was
two and a half, three, something like that.
Yeah. And it was okay, whatever. It's cool. Enter your second year. I always say this. You make your biggest strides as a player from your first year to your second year. Second year, double-digit sacks. I think that the sky is still the limit for Trayvon Walker because he hasn't even, I feel like, touched his full potential yet. So if that's what we're talking about right now, and keep in mind, Hutchinson is still playing a good brand of football as well. And Kayvon Thibodeau has shown flashes right now. Sometimes the attitude sucks a little bit. I feel like he's done some controversial antics during games and everything, but
he's solid. They're all three very good players. I mean,
where we sit right now, Casey, and I know me and Brent had this conversation, but I want to get your opinion on it. We're both in the same boat with Thibodeau. Thought he could be the ultimate boomer bust type of player. We thought, I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, Trayvon Walker, there was potential there, but you have to use him right.
Sure.
And Hutchinson was like a Joey Bosa to us, where it's like you kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, who's going to have the best career out of Thibodeau, Hutchinson, and Trayvon Walker?
I think the interesting part of this is out of the three, and this isn't a career question answer, but I'll get that in a second. Hutchinson, I think, will always be the face guy. Like, he's on commercials already.
True.
You know what I mean? So I said this a little bit last year, like, in my opinion, unless Hutch just sucks, which I don't think he's gonna, those two will always, in that department, be chasing Hutch. Because Hutch, they've made, like, a face of the league. He's turned around the Lions guy.
Sure. And you're not even saying chasing him from a stats point.
You're saying chasing him from just
a household name,
fan perception.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's on commercial. Like, I don't know if that will ever come for those two guys. But also, I don't think that obviously doesn't mean Hutch is going to have the best stats of it.
Sure, no, for sure.
I just think he's the most notable of the three in terms of fan perception.
And you know what? I come with you on that. I think when you wrap Eminem on Hard Knocks, that's going to come with some.
So you had all that stuff with Hutch. But listen, I'm still not giving up on Thibodeau. I like him, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's good. I think he's quietly put up some decent numbers. Again, you talk about the jump from the rookie year to the second year. He had the jump. He had a decent rookie year. He had a pretty solid year last year. Where do you go from there? And I still think of the three, I know it's controversial because Trayvon, mm-hmm. I think Thibodeau's that dude, like, athlete-wise.
Yeah.
And I think it's easier with Thibodeau where it's like, he's always been this one thing in the mm-hmm. position, right? Trayvon, there's always been questions there. Mm-hmm. And there may be questions down the road if he's not here or they bring in a different, like you can always, I think that'll always be a conversation with Trayvon Walker where with Thibodeau, it's like he's going to do this one thing. And I still think he's extremely talented.
Yeah, you know, it's wild here because we talk about the edge rush position and it's such a stat-driven mm-hmm. position, right? I mean, Josh Allen got paid what he got paid because, well, it wasn't because of the quarterback pressures. Wasn't correct. Because of, you know, him in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the quarterback sacks. 17 and a half gets you to be, what, the second, third highest paid?
Yes.
Edge rusher in the NFL. Simple as that. Brian Burns got a lot of money. Not even close to Josh Allen's numbers, but I think it was more of like, okay, the potential is still there.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look at Trayvon Walker and we're asking the question of, can he be the best out of that draft class with Kayvon Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, my only worry is that you're going to get so caught up in the numbers because I do think Nielsen will look at Hutchinson and say, hey, do you want to play inside a little bit? And if you're playing inside, well, then do you lose some of the quarterback sack numbers, mm-hmm. right? Does that go to other players, things like that? But also I look at Trayvon Walker being on a defensive line that probably has the most pieces right now in terms of Josh Allen on the other side. You have now Arik Armstead. We'll see who wants to fill the role of another interior rusher. But like I feel like you like at least up front the four that you can possibly get. Now you'll probably throw Roy Robinson Harris in there. You'll throw Gibson in there as well. But you like what they have, at least from the up front version. Now, depth, we'll see. But from up front, you like the pass rushers there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need Trayvon Walker to be the guy. Like Detroit, their defense will depend on how well Aiden Hutchinson does. Simple as that.
For sure.
Because they were lacking pass rushing last year. He was really only the shining spot. Like, he is the guy in that defense, in that defensive line. In New York, I don't even know what their depth chart looks like right now.
I pulled it up. It's intriguing a little bit because you obviously have Thibodeau. They do have Brian Burns now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Dexter Lawrence in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So pretty...
There's potential.
Potential.
And I think, if anything, Brian Burns will make Thibodeau better.
Absolutely.
But in terms of like the farther down you go on the depth chart.
Okay.
I mean, so they got those three.
So it's almost comparable to the Jacksonville Jaguars. For the most part.
Yeah. You're right there. I guess that would come into how you view like the next way you go down their depth chart. So like in New York, they have Azeez Ojulari, the guy.
Yeah.
I think he was a first-round pick or maybe second-round pick. Mm-hmm. Hasn't really blossomed. And then you go to the Jags next piece, and you would go to, like, Gibson.
Yeah.
Who you think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or had a bold prediction that might be pretty good for them. So if that's the case, then you would go advantage Jags there.
So here's where I stand in it, Casey. I think the guy that has the most potential to get all the stats is Hutchinson. Because, once again, he kind of has to be that guy. Now, does being that guy get you more double teams? Does it get you a lot more attention on you? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he can handle it. So I almost think like when it's all said and done, and once again, I'm not just taking career numbers into this. Like we're going to sit here and say, okay, sacks is the most important thing. And for a lot of people it is. But like I think Trayvon Walker will be the best player in terms of what he brings to a team, stopping the run, getting after the quarterback, all those numbers, all those, you know, those analytics you want to say. But like I wouldn't be surprised when it's all said and done if Hutchinson ends up having more sacks than he does. But like I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to lament somebody and say, well, this is the best edge rusher because he has the most sacks. To me, more goes into it than just that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting comparison because after year one, you weren't really sure. Like, if you were grading the whole thing on year one, you would go, Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, good. Mm-hmm. Kayvon Thibodeau, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now 2 years in, you're like, all three of these guys are good. Like, it worked out, and who knows if they could do it over maybe – the teams would trade players, but like mm-hmm. it looks like all three of those teams got good cornerstone people in those positions that they absolutely needed.
True.
So it's fun to be involved in this conversation where last offseason you were like, they might have goofed here. in terms of what Hutchinson did his rookie year. So yeah. It's better to be on this side than where you were last year.
Well, then now getting back to Eric Armstead's comments a little bit. And like it's not even really fair because like you have one of the best edge rushers already in Josh Allen, right? Like any Jaguars fan will tell you that. Does Trayvon Walker? I'm not saying it happens this year, but you're gonna have Josh Allen here for a while now. Does Trayvon Walker have the opportunity to eventually eclipse even the greatness that is Josh Allen right now?
I mean, I would say sure because. Now that you know that Josh is going to be here and locked in, where do they go coming off the season that Josh had? Where does the attention go? Right, because it looked like there was a lot of attention on really both of them last year, but you can't do that with both of them, and you had an Eric Armstead in there. Like, somebody at some point is going to get a favorable matchup, right? Mm-hmm. So the question is, who will that be? Could it be Trayvon Walker? But I think it's always possible, but for Trayvon Walker to get on that Josh Allen level where Josh is right now, Josh probably took a step back then, one would think.
Yeah.
But also, it's hard to take a step forward from where you were at the end of last season.
No, for sure, for sure. I guess here's where I go with this, Casey, and I mean, I should be able to break this down. It's my position after all I played.
That's true.
I get the hype for Trayvon Walker because... Okay, I'll be honest. When Josh Allen came in and he had that great rookie year, it was super impressive. Mm-hmm. But like, I can't remember how many times I, and this is no knock on Josh Allen, because like I said, the guy is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. But I can't remember how many times I said, man, like this guy is a freak of nature. Like this guy, I thought like, well, this guy's polished. He's got a good motor. He's got a good skill set. He's athletic. Like he could be great for a long time. Right, and great rookie year, next couple years, and then obviously last year, does what he does, gets paid. I've watched Trayvon Walker a couple times, and I'm just like, this guy is an absolute animal. And like, essentially same height. Now, Trayvon Walker's a lot bigger, and we'll see like what they do with him. Do they add size to push him down inside more? Do they keep him like around that 270 range? We'll see, and I think Josh Allen's more of like the 250 range. So like, I've gone a couple times now last season with Trayvon Walker thinking like, man, when this guy like puts it all together, like watch out. Because I almost feel like he's getting by more. Because keep in mind, this is all new to him still. Like,
right.
He played so many positions in Georgia. So like he's still learning the position. And when I watch him, I'm like, man, when this guy puts it all together, it's going to be special. And I said this last year, Casey, when he had 10 sacks. Like 10 sacks is a great season for anybody at the edge. Like if you have 10 sacks, you're happy with it. And I'm saying from a guy, he's still putting it together. Like that's the difference I feel like between what I saw with Josh Allen than what I see with Trayvon Walker.
So then is Eric Armstead like the best possible scenario that could have happened here to learn from a guy?
Yeah.
For Trayvon Walker?
Yeah, because I think what helped Josh Allen, and we see him now, and we see the sound bites, we see him in press conferences. This guy is who you want as your leader of the Jaguars. Like, yeah, I get Trevor's got to be the leader too as well, but like, if I'm looking at a guy who carries himself, who speaks eloquently, who sends the message of what it means to be a Jaguar, like, yes, Trevor Lawrence is up there, but I'm going Josh Allen. Now, I've heard Josh Allen, like, he's been on the show a couple times, so like, maybe I'm a little biased. But I think his attitude, his demeanor, what he stands for, what he's all about is exactly what you want in this organization. So, yeah, there's a lot to like with Josh Allen because I think he learned it from Calais Campbell. And I've said this so many times on this show. Like, when Calais Campbell left, you felt that void. It all went to hell after. So now you bring a guy that has a lot of, in my opinion, Calais Campbell traits and Eric Armstead to almost teach Trayvon Walker now. I'm all for it. Not to say that Josh Allen can't teach Trayvon Walker because Josh Allen is in that leadership role now. But once again, I think that the more leaders, the more dogs you have, the more guys that know how to do things the right way, the better.
But Josh is also in a role now where it's like, not that he doesn't not that he won't, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
But you can almost be like, all right, Josh, just whatever it is that you did last year, do it. Like, if you don't want to talk to us, that's cool. If you want to read the book, because there's a book that he read a bunch of times last year Brent was talking about. If you want to do that, it's fine.
Because
we have an Eric Armstead who can kind of bring these guys along. We can let Josh do whatever he needs to do to get 17 and a half sacks, and then we can just do our thing over here. Like, it's valuable, man. It's really valuable.
It's super valuable. And, I mean, listen, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because you still have some people to pay, like Trevor Lawrence and everything, and you still have a couple more years with Trayvon Walker. But realistically, Casey, could we be looking at, I mean, because I have no reason to believe Trayvon Walker is going to regress anytime soon. Like, sure. I'm expecting at least 10 sacks again, maybe more. Maybe he's right up there with Josh Allen in terms of numbers and everything. And eventually Trayvon Walker will be slated to get paid.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would just say to that, now, I get it. They did not have a lot of sacks as a team. The two of them did. The rest of them didn't. But, like, yeah. Well, like, I think there's one of two things here. One, the Jags are going to jump incredibly in total team sacks.
Which is what I want to see. I would rather see Josh Allen have 13, 14 sacks, Trayvon Walker around that, and then all of a sudden their interior feeds off that as well. Maybe throw, you know, Devin Lloyd in there for some sacks.
So then the other part of that was going to be, then someone probably is taking a step back in that, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think he's going to regress either, and doesn't necessarily mean he regresses, but I think there's a scenario where Josh Allen has 20 sacks and Trayvon has 8. That's just how it worked out.
You know what I mean?
But that's not necessarily regression. Like, statistically it is, but he might not, you know, it might just be situational.
Okay, but for the sake of this argument, though, Casey, let's say, like, Trayvon comes out and improves on last year's performance, which could very well happen. Ryan Nielsen...
Absolutely.
Seems to bring out the best of his defensive linemen. So let's say Trayvon Walker's got, for the sake of the argument, let's say 12 sacks.
Okay.
Hell of a season. Mm-hmm. Defensive line really humming. A lot of pieces that you like. Trayvon Walker gets 12 sacks. You have to talk about then a new contract for him, yeah? Because you can't let, but here's my issue. If you do give him a new contract and he shows the consistency, like, okay, this guy's going to be great for a long time now. He's got the size, he's got the speed. He's getting to learn the position. He's already this good. Can you justify paying another player top three, top five money at the same position? Like, can you justify having both of your edge rushers being the top five highest paid in the NFL at their position?
I mean, you can justify it, but
because that's what I see it happening now. That's what you're going to run the risk of doing, and it's not a bad problem to have per se. But the question is do you pull the trigger on it?
I mean, if you've got top five guys, you probably have to. But then it goes to, like, so Travis Etienne's gone, Christian Kirk's gone.
I mean, we'll see. Yeah, yeah. It's a long. Yeah,
I get it. Salary cap doesn't exist. Yeah. But, like, the point of that would be, and we'll see what happens this year, but are the Jags built to be in a position where you can afford to lose good players because you're keeping good players? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it has. They haven't really
got to
that point.
We haven't been here in a long time.
Right.
Like, I feel like NFL teams go through this every single year.
Yeah, like, San Francisco just did it with Eric Armstead.
Correct.
Yeah.
We haven't been here yet.
Right.
So this is all new and foreign to us. We don't know how to act, I feel like.
Because if you're in a spot where you're paying your quarterback top five money in the sport, which they probably will be.
Yeah.
You're paying one of your edge rushers top five money in the sport, and then you want to pay another edge rusher top five money, like, you're running out of it. I get it. You can make things work in funny ways, but then you go to, like, Travis Etienne. They might not pay him because running backs don't get paid. That's fine. Tyson Campbell, what if he's great?
Yeah.
Andre Sisco, what if he's good? Like, you've got all these other things, and again, it's a good problem to have.
Trevor's getting paid eventually here too.
Right. So it's like, you're going to, at some point, run out of it somewhere. Are you good enough to pay another edge rusher and sustain the hit you take somewhere else? I don't know.
This really just dawned on me, Casey. What a refreshing conversation to have, though. Like, now listen, it's going to be a stressful conversation when this time comes, and you're talking about, do you pay Trayvon Walker? Do you assume, you know, he keeps elevating his play? Now it's like, all right, well, do you let one of your guys that you drafted go, especially the number one pick?
Right.
We'll see. But I'm saying, what a great conversation to have, though. Now we're finally having these conversations of, man, we got some great players here. Can we keep them all?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we haven't had that conversation a lot because in the past, there hasn't been a lot of great first-round picks. And the ones that we have had
left. Mm-hmm.
And we try to replace those players.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work out too well.
No.
So I like the conversation we're having. It shows that they're moving in the right direction. Now it's a matter of fact of, can they pull the right buttons? Do they make the right decisions or not? And when it comes to Trayvon Walker, like, listen, if this guy keeps elevating his play, I say come hell or high water, you got to find some way to pay him. And I get it probably goes a lot against the salary cap in terms of how you structure things, having two edge rushers with that much money. But, Casey, the edge rusher is one of the most premium positions in all of football. You know, obviously quarterback, I still think corners up there. You can say left tackle, but now it's kind of right tackle, left tackle, whatever you want to say. But the edge rusher is so important. And to have a team that has two bona fide ones on your roster for a long time that you drafted, that you gave up capital for, I think it's hard to justify letting that guy go.
I'd agree.
Now, it'll be a conversation had a couple years from now, but...
Hopefully one that you're having.
Hopefully one that you're having.
Because, again, good problem to have.
Great problem to have. Yeah, the last thing you want to see is the regression. It's like, all right, yeah, you let him know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. Obviously, knock on wood for the injuries, but you like what you hear out of training camp so far with, you know, the development of Trayvon Walker. And one would think with Ryan Nielsen, he can take another step forward. Speaking of in terms of the edge, we have the Jaguars offensive outside linebackers coach that Brent sat down with. Do we have that interview? Nick in the daytime. All right, and I believe this is going to be Bill Shea, if I'm not mistaken.
Bill Shea.
So we have Brett Martineau speaking one-on-one with Jaguars outside linebackers coach Bill Shea.
Bill, maybe a goofy question, but with the scheme change, do you work with those guys, particularly Josh and Trayvon, as much as you did maybe these last couple years?
Yes, actually. Yeah, that part hasn't changed. You know, the question was asked a little bit earlier, like, yes, I'm coaching the same guys. Their role is a little bit different, and you know, if you got a pool of different things that they do in their job, a lot of those things are exactly the same as they were last year. It's just that the percentages may move around a little bit. So it's not a lot of differences per se. There are some things that are different, but what it will change is maybe what we might have done, you know, at a higher percentage last year may go to a lower percentage this year. What we might have done a little bit less last year is going to be a little bit higher this year. And so, you know, I've had to adjust and shift a little bit of how we train and how we work. But most of the stuff that we're talking about and that we're teaching, that we're drilling, it's not foreign for these guys. It's just maybe they hasn't been a point of emphasis as much in the past as it is now.
Outside looking in, you stick around after there's a change on the defensive side. Josh has a massive year, gets a big contract. What's your relationship with him? How much has that grown? How much joy is there in the year and the contract that he just got?
Yeah, I'm extremely happy for him. You know, the more you're around the players, the tighter, you know, the more time you spend with somebody, the tighter your relationship's gonna be, the better you get to know him. So, you know, for him to get the contract, you know, and the fact that he's able to stay here, you know, I'm extremely happy for him and also his family. Because just like coaches, like you mentioned, you know, I was able to stay here and be retained. There's a lot of friends of mine that were not, and it's not just those guys; it's their families and how everybody gets affected. That's part of the job. People sign up for that. I understand all that, but it's still hard. And so for Josh, it's the same thing. Like if he would have gone somewhere else, it would have been an opportunity for him. But now his whole family has to relocate, and I know that he and his family are vested in the community here. They love the area. And he loves being a Jaguar, and so I'm happy for him that a lot of the hard work that he put in paid off, and that he's, you know, he's able to earn that new contract and ready to get to work and you know, get off to this next season and have another productive year.
Does he have more?
Yeah, I think everybody has more, you know, as long as, again, his, you know, it's at some point in your career where Father Time starts to take over. But usually as that happens, there's also, you know, some really good years there where the body is still in a really good shape where I think he is. And now he's in the prime of his career from an experience standpoint. So now applying things that he's learned through the years with the fact that he's still in his prime years, you know, I do think there's still some room for growth. Now, the production sometimes, that ebbs and flows. Sometimes there's things that are uncontrollable that happen. But I just, like I mentioned to him, like if you want to have your production, but your production will be there if you keep your focus on just trying to get a little bit better. And like we were talking about Trayvon just a minute ago, as you get better, that's harder to do. It's harder to get better as you continue to get better, you got to work twice as hard to get the same improvement that you might have gotten 4 or 5 years ago.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. It's something I never thought about. Like, you can always get better. Like, you know what I mean? I guess I always thought that, like, you know, at some point you're capped out. Yeah, like this is kind of how good you are.
Yeah,
but it's like, in his words, I guess not.
No, I mean, and it's a great point though too, where it's. You can get better, but you have to work twice as hard to do that.
Because you're already elite.
Because you're already elite. You're already elite human. Yeah. I like that. I've never heard that before, but I might start using that with little man over here. If he gets a little cocky in terms of basketball or something, if he gets good.
And bro's hitting shots in here like he thinks he's him. Well, I guarantee you he's going out to the court today, he's going to feel good.
Well, we have basketball camp here in a little bit, so I'll be leaving a little early in case he'd be taking the reins. But we got a little more time here on the show until that happens. But let's go ahead and go to break. We actually got some crazy news for the Atlanta Falcons, some breaking news, maybe some punishments coming down for them, and also still got to break down the Madden cover athlete as well.
The two-day tease.
San Francisco 49ers fans should be nervous or not because of it.
A little bit.
Welcome back to the Fred and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
There she is once again, Everbank Stadium, home to artists like not Luke Combs. Who would you see again?
Jinx.
Jinx?
Cody Jinx.
Jinx and Charles Wesley Godwin.
Wesley
Godwin.
See, here's the thing. I listen to country music. I don't know. No Charles.
Yeah, man. Nick in the daytime's into the deep cuts.
He's unknown. Well, I wouldn't say unknown. He's known now, but he's lesser known.
Okay.
All right.
Open for Zach Bryan a couple of times.
Ooh. I like Zach Bryan.
That's a flex. I actually like Zach Bryan too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good Lord, my phone. That's my phone. My bad.
Okay. Do you feel so? I assume like all these guys, that's their name. Like they didn't like change their names for just to be a musician, right? Like Luke Combs' name is Luke Combs. Like what you just said, Bryant, Wesley, Gabbert, Gilson, whatever.
Probably his name.
That's actually his name.
You would think.
Do you just feel like when you're just born kind of into country music when you have names like that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I feel like in country
it's actually rare. Not his name. Thomas Luther Bryan.
Is his name?
Yeah.
And he changed
goes by
it?
What?
Luke.
Combs.
Luke Combs. Oh, wait. I looked at the wrong guy. My bad. Hold on.
Off the rails. Nick's off the rails. Hey,
the one that's way down the list for
Maybe he's starting to realize that maybe 3 days in a row is too much
Albert
for Nick in the
Combs.
Daytime.
So it is actually his name.
Yeah, that's
Luke
what I thought.
Albert that's my point. Combs.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a new album, too. Either it's already come out or it's this week one.
It's this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like if you have... There's a couple rules of country music, and this is coming from a guy who's a very country casual, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think if you have, like, two first names, Luke Bryan, I'm sure there's tons of them. Bree Lice. I mean, there's probably Bree Bryce. I don't know. Whatever.
Lee Bryce?
See, there you go. Yeah, Lee Bryce. When you have two first names, you're destined to be a country music star.
Yes.
Enough said.
That's fair. I mean.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Zach Bryan, sure.
Yeah, Zach Bryan.
Sure. Like I didn't just make the point. Yep.
Not Chris Stapleton nor Tyler Childers.
No, but I'm saying if you have two first names, you're probably going to be a country artist.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
Like parents out there. Just, if you want your child to one day be a big country music star, go double first names and you'll for sure win that. As we teased going to the break, Atlanta Falcons right now, little bit of a hot water, I guess.
Sort of.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the same page here, Casey. Go ahead and break the news for us.
Here's my thing with the NFL. So anyway, the breaking news is, as you know, Kirk Cousins now a member of the Atlanta Falcons, and there was some rumblings that they may have talked to him a little too soon. Turns out they talked to him a little too soon, along with Darnell Mooney. So Atlanta, for talking a little too soon, will give up, hold on to your hats, folks.
Yeah, here we go.
A fifth rounder.
Yeah.
They'll be fined $250,000, which to me would ruin my life, but to a billionaire, he'll be fine. And then the GM is fined $50K, who I assume will also be fine.
$50K for the GM? Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, go ahead and put the camera on me real quick, please, Nick. Hey, Casey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is three slaps on the wrist.
Not even three.
What are we doing?
Like, that's my thing. Like, it feels like you got legal tampering, which is a dumb thing to call it anyway, but that's fine.
Yeah.
And you're trying to encourage people not to tamper, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this doesn't encourage nobody to do anything.
If you're talking about I got to give up a late round, fifth round pick
and sacrifice
a quarter of a million, and then I got to, as a GM, I got to give up $30,000 or whatever it was, I'm going to tamper my ass off next season.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
It's dumb.
Like, it's illegal, yeah, right?
But not really.
Third round pick, second round pick, like a fifth round pick?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's
It's a waste.
No, the Jaguars have six of them, it seems like, every single year. Just go, hey, Trent Baalke, start tampering right now. Tamper
get ahead
away
of it for next year.
If that's all we're talking about for a punishment is that, what a joke.
For, like, not just, and Darnell Mooney, I don't mean to disrespect you here, but, like,
no,
you tampered to get your quarterback. Yeah, like, yeah, there's not, yeah, like, a more, yeah, important thing that could have happened was for you to get the quarterback, and all that happened was a fifth rounder.
They're trying to throw Mooney's name in there, too, like it made a difference. Like, right. Yeah, it's for Kirk Cousins, obviously.
So, like, tamper. Like, if all they're going to do, if you're tampering with a quarterback and they're taking a fifth, yeah, bro, just tamper.
Yeah.
Tamper with every, start now.
Tamper now. Yeah, we're on the same page here. Like, Nick, are we in the wrong, or is this kind of like this punishment is stupid? Like,
yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Like maybe, I don't know what else you would do, but $250,000 to the team.
Hey, Nick, I'll tell you right now, a first-round pick or a second-round pick.
You have no more tampering.
How does that sound?
Yeah, you make the punishment a lot bigger. You'll get a lot less of it.
Like, no, nobody cares,
like,
about the
minimum,
money.
Minimum a third.
Like, do you think the Falcons are going to blink at,
no, what is
$300,000, no, total?
Yeah, what's Arthur Blank worth? Yeah.
Like no one's going to blink at that. Like, that's nothing. And a fifth-round pick? Is really nothing as well.
Yeah, I mean,
$7.9 billion with a B.
$7.9 billion.
$7.9 billion.
$250,000. This guy's probably a Sunday afternoon.
Really hit him where it hurts.
Bro said, "My bad. I guess I can't have breakfast today. I'll just have a smoothie and then we'll go to lunch. I'll have early lunch." I mean, that's just, it's like, here's the thing: why even do anything at that point? Like, if you're the NFL,
yeah.
Like, this is just embarrassing. I don't know. I mean,
do you think part of the stipulation was the NFL making them draft Michael Penix then?
Yes. That was the unspoken part.
Was that the punishment?
Hey, so you can keep your first rounder, but
you're going to take Michael Penix.
Gotta pick quarterback.
You're going to cause some controversy here. It's part of the script. You think that was the case?
Lefty named Michael.
That would be funny. That'd be funny if they, like, told them how they had to use their pick. That actually, that would be insane. Could you imagine? Whatever position you tamper with. Yeah. So if it's quarterback, if you tamper as a quarterback, you have to pick a quarterback first round. Have to.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's like wide receiver, like edge, you got to pick them second. Like you go down the list of, like, what you tampered with,
yeah,
and each one has a positional value. You tamper with safety, seventh. But, yeah, like, that would be awesome.
I mean, yeah, NFL, just we're all on the same page here. If you're gonna legal tamper, at least make teams weary of it.
Yeah.
Because as far as I'm concerned, $300,000 and a fifth round pick is scaring nobody.
Or just change the...
Or just the period, too.
Yeah, just change, like, the... As soon as the season ends, just go.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you at this point? Because all they're taking is a fifth.
No, for sure.
And if it's even worse, they might take a fourth. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
It's just too much. Do you think Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy in Atlanta?
I think he'll be all right.
You think he'll be all right?
I think they have...
Oh, Nick in the daytime. So now, by the way, Nick, you're...
The anti-Hamby.
Well, yeah, the guy that usually sits there is arguably the biggest Kirk Cousins fan of all time.
He's a Georgia fan. They always have terrible takes.
Okay, well, there you go. Nick of the Daytime, let's hear what you got to say about Kirk Cousins.
He's solid, but I just don't think he's as cracked up as he's always been for some reason. And he's not worth what they paid him, especially coming off a blown ACL. Or not ACL, Achilles.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That part is fair because you don't know how he's going to come back.
36?
He is older.
He's older.
He's been around
the
a while.
Achilles. Even like Rodgers, I don't know if Rodgers is worthwhile going into this season at 39-40 with the torn Achilles now.
I agree with that. I think, by the way, Kirk Cousins, the only guy that's ever done this right in terms of being a quarterback. Everybody, like, and I get it, everybody else making a lot of money too, that's fine.
Yeah.
No other quarterback goes to free agency but Kirk Cousins. He's the only one that ever goes to free agency.
He's done it twice now. Yeah.
And he's made a ton of money. I get it. Like, if you're Burrow, you don't go to free agency, that's fine. But I've always said this, like, I said it mostly with Herbert because, you know, Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating Trevor to do this, but, like, goof around and don't sign the extension and go to free agency and see what happens.
Yeah.
You get overpaid by $20 million a year.
Sure.
Honestly.
Yeah, because the team's desperate.
Like, imagine if Justin Herbert were to be a free agent, and you're telling me, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers wouldn't be like, cool, let's do it.
Yeah,
the Giants wouldn't be like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, the quarterback never goes to free agency. I don't understand it.
Yeah, but see, what I don't understand, though, either is you got Kirk Cousins in because, like, I thought they brought Kirk in to be the guy in Atlanta mm-hmm. for a while. And then they draft Michael Penix in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't...
Insurance policy? It's stupid.
I guess, but, like, is he the guy or not? Or is he a bridge? Because you're not paying him like a bridge.
No, you're not. He's the guy right now, I would say. I mean, I think for what their offense is, Kirk is perfect for what they do. The question is, how healthy is he going to be? And I think when you draft Penix, that's a lot of faith in. And I'm not. They didn't need to draft a weapon, in my opinion, because you had the receiver, you have the tight end, you have the running back, so you're good there. That's a lot of faith in saying, yeah, our defense is just good enough, because at the time that they made that pick, they still could have had the first defender off the board.
Yeah.
And they went quarterback. So that's a lot of faith in your defense.
Casey, you know what's wild? And I guess this could be a fact of the stats don't tell the entire story. Because I'm under the school of thought that says Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I wouldn't call him elite. Like, he's not even close to a top five.
No.
I mean, top 10 to me would actually be pushing it as well.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I look at the stats year in and year out. Like, if Trevor Lawrence had these stats, dude, we'd be in the streets celebrating right now. Because, like, let's go 3 years ago. 2021, Pro Bowl year. Over 4,000 yards passing, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Seven?
7 interceptions.
Damn.
And I get it. He plays with a really solid team. Great wide receivers when he had Minnesota. But, like, why are we just so turned off to the idea of Kirk Cousins? At least I am, because of what we see in the big games.
Yeah, I mean, that follows him. There's no doubt. There's that, like, thing that's there. But, I mean, bro chucks it, man. Like, the numbers are good. It's just, can he win in the big moments? And, you know, part of that's, you know, probably Minnesota, and he's had his struggles in primetime, but I think he's going to be good in Atlanta. I think when you take that division, and yes, the Bucs were good last year, the Bucs have a decent roster, but, I mean, Carolina stinks and the Saints stink. Nobody's great. Like, the Bucs aren't great. They won the division. They're not great. I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, to me, Kirk Cousins is good, not great. Probably great leader, though, is my guess.
Okay. You like that?
You know, you get some of that. But they've got so many young players that, like, need direction, right? Mm. Which also makes the Penix thing a little bit more confusing, because then you would add young quarterback. But, like, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, like, give them that guy who I also think Kirk Cousins is a smart guy. So it's like he's going to understand everything he needs to know about the offense, which is going to make all of them better, along with he's going to throw them a good football. So I think it makes perfect sense for the team.
Someone had a comment in the chat I saw a little bit ago, and this is, I think it's a valid question. I can't believe we're about to have it. If you're to take one quarterback for your team this year between these two guys, who you take? You're taking Kirk Cousins, you're taking Aaron Rodgers. Both coming off of injuries, obviously.
Yeah.
One is not at training camp right now. Might be running for vice president. We don't know. You're taking Kirk Cousins, you're taking Aaron Rodgers.
There's a lot of stuff you don't have to deal with if you take Kirk Cousins.
Sure, but
do we know if A-Rod's
been
good
in the big game? Huh?
Do we know if he's good?
I know he's been in the big game.
Am I wild to take Kirk Cousins?
I think you might be a little wild. I'm taking Rodgers, personally. Because, like I said, man, the prime time, big moment games, it really does scare me from Kirk Cousins.
It's a thing till it's not, though.
But that's the thing. It's been a thing for how long, Casey?
Yeah, they just goof around and figure out how to win one of them.
Okay, well, you haven't done it yet. Until I see differently, I'm going Aaron Rodgers, I think. And once again, I don't feel good about it, because I feel like of all the distractions he could be possibly bringing outside with a young team as well. I mean, if it's the Falcons, per se.
Yeah.
I'm still going Rodgers, I think.
I don't know.
Nick in the daytime, go ahead and break this tie. What do you got?
He don't like Cousins, so it's going
to
be
Rodgers. It's going to be Rodgers then, probably?
I mean, probably Rodgers, yes. 2-10 in primetime for Cousins.
2-10?
2-10, Casey.
2-10.
Casey, 2-10.
Who is he playing, though?
Doesn't matter. If you're featured in a primetime game, your team is supposed to be good, and that team is supposed to be decent.
It's not great.
It's not ideal at all.
20%?
Horrible.
How often are the Falcons in primetime, though? This year. again, if we could just move the Super Bowl up, it'd be fine. Super Bowl at 1.
Casey wants the Super Bowl to be in the UK so bad.
I'm good.
Watch Kirk Cousins go Jerry West and just dominate in a losing performance at the Super Bowl if it was in England.
It probably would. That would be exactly it. But, and I mean, it's a thing, I guess. 2-10.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't trust Rodgers right now.
I'm trying to figure out, what is Aaron Rodgers, like, his primetime game? All I'm finding right now is a wild stat for me is he's 151, 79, and 1.
No way.
which feels unrealistic.
In primetime games?
There's no way.
Yeah.
That's a
Has
lot of
Green
primetime.
Bay well, been in
Green
prime
Bay's been
time
on,
that
yeah,
much?
Man. Dude, they've been featured a lot.
151 and 79?
In a tie. Yeah.
That's how many primetime games Aaron
no,
Rodgers has
per
played.
Stat Muse, and that's Aaron Rodgers' okay. primetime record.
I mean, you take playoffs, I guess? Would I don't
they, know. He's he did have a 13-game win streak in primetime.
13-game win streak in primetime? You try to bring Kirk Cousins in to fold.
Hold on. You're telling me that Rodgers has played how? They only play
yeah, that's not,
230. That can't be.
That can't sounds, be right.
Is that just games in general?
That's got to be games.
It makes me wonder how many games. All right, yeah. Let me come back. Good. That's why I didn't believe it. I'm like, this sounds odd, but if he's won 13 in a row, that it's one.
But you started justifying. You're like, well, they featured the Packers a lot.
Well,
I'm like,
yeah,
they
but
did,
like,
they do.
But I'm bad at math. I told you this. Here we are doing math again. What did I say on the show, guys? Brent's gone for a week, and I say, can we just not do the math, and here we are.
Yeah, that's no way. That's 13 seasons full of
okay,
primetime
yeah, correct.
Games.
He's played 231 games, so that's his overall
okay,
record.
Okay, all right.
Nick in the daytime, my word.
Hey, look, I'm not good at math
it.
Either.
He Nick tried it on
daytime.
What
I'm
do you
not
mean you
good
did
at math?
Math
either.
You just did math a little bit ago. You're like, oh, 60.
What math? I don't do math.
Nick in the daytime.
The only math I do is time and shows.
Nick, please keep us on the road. Are you here tomorrow, too? Are you going 4 days in a row?
We'll have to see.
Oh, it's going to burn.
Honestly, don't know.
I can already tell, man.
It's going to what? Hey, gonna burn you?
Hey, oh. I'm just saying. Eventually, we might have to go to the bullpen. speaking of going to the bullpen, can we get the latest Madden cover athlete before we go to break here, Nick, in the daytime?
The two-day tease. We've been sitting on this one for a while.
Might be able to.
Been sitting on it a little bit.
There you go.
All right. Casey, first of all, your thoughts about the cutter. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, it's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
No.
Wasn't Travis Kelce? Surprised wasn't Travis
no.
Kelce?
Has he been
no.
it?
I don't want him on
he
the
He hasn't
cover.
Been it, I guess.
I don't think so.
Mahomes was.
Well, first of all, Nick, okay, the whole Travis Kelce, it's not geared towards you. It's the NFL being the NFL and making the money machine that they
well,
are.
This is EA. It's not the NFL.
Okay, but like if EA has any sorts of smarts, they would say, hey, there's a Taylor Swift bump.
It's actually
Let's go ahead and put Travis Kelce on it. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, there's reason.
Or the Kelce brothers would have killed.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
How you get them both on? Like,
what do you mean?
I know you can't do it, but like...
It's pop culture, Casey.
Oh, a perfect Welcome. Cover is the Kelce brothers playing like backyard football.
Thank you.
Ooh.
No, here's if you truly wanted...
That would be sick, actually.
If you truly wanted the cover of all covers, you have them when they're kids playing football and it's Madden, you know, 25
yeah.
Legacy Edition or something
that.
Like
would be
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
That would actually be cool.
But EA decides to go with Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, he's the best player.
In the league?
In the league?
Yeah.
Non-quarterback.
I mean, well, not quarterback.
My favorite favorite part about this is when they were deciding like to make this cover, right? So they have McCaffrey. They're like, all right, who are we going to put McCaffrey dicing up in the background? And the Las Vegas Raiders, you have been chosen as the garbage team to get diced up.
It's got
to
be.
That's my favorite part of it. Like, it could have been anybody, and they made a conscious decision. You know what? The Raiders suck. Let's go them.
Yeah, I love that part of it. Well, and I love, too, like, because I always worry about Derrick Henry being on the cover and then obviously having a stiff arm against the Jaguars
you know
player.
Exactly who it would have
been. Oh, yeah, and I was always worried about that, but, I mean, we avoided that one. Obviously a deserving athlete. Do you still buy into the whole Madden curse, Casey, or not?
I do, just because it was such a thing, and then I feel like it's kind of gone away.
So I have actually the numbers here from all the players that have been listed and whether they were cursed or not.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go all the way back because we're going back to like the 90s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We'll start at 2011 and go from there.
Sure.
All right. So 2011, any guesses?
2011.
Isn't it Fitz?
Fitzgerald?
Fitz and Polamalu, right?
Nope, that would have been 2010. Missed it by that much.
Drew Brees?
Drew Brees, nailed it, man. Yep. So this was considered a curse. After going 33 touchdowns in a Pro Bowl selection, he goes 7-9 and loses to the playoffs in the infamous Marshawn Lynch. I think that was Marshawn Lynch game where Marshawn Lynch did his, yep. And so the verdict was that he was cursed. 2012.
Calvin Johnson.
He was a running back.
Oh, Peyton Hillis.
Yeah. I remember playing against. So I remember Joe Cullen, our former defensive line coach, when we were getting ready to play the Cleveland Browns. And Joe Cullen goes, we're playing. You know how he's so old school. And I can't repeat everything that he said. We got this guy, Peyton Hillis, coming in. Madden cover athlete, bleep, 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 my bleep. Right? Didn't buy into the hype. I'll be honest, I didn't really even know who Peyton Hillis was until Madden, the Madden cover came out. And then, like, when we played against him, like, yeah, I was very, like, okay, this is a big game. This is a Madden cover athlete. I think he might have, like, 40 yards rushing. It didn't really do that much. Mm-hmm. But needless to say, cover athlete, it was a curse.
Definitely
a curse. After the season, he went 1,000 yards. Was that, like, a fan-voted cover?
It had to be.
Because I have a hard time believing they just gave Peyton Hillis the cover for no reason.
Sounds right.
So it must have been a fan-voted cover.
Yeah.
The following year, then, he missed a half a dozen games with injury, averaged just 3.6 yards a carry, and let's be honest, didn't really hear from him after that again. 2013.
Sherman.
Calvin Johnson.
Dang it! I said that last time.
And if you know anything about Calvin Johnson, dude didn't really have too many down seasons. This was not a curse. It's really the first curse in a long, the non-curse in a long time. Posted 1,900 receiving yards. 1,964 receiving yards when the Madden cover came out. I think Calvin Johnson wasn't cursed.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
2014.
Richard Sherman.
Running back.
Close. But running it's back. A doozy. There's two running backs.
Running back here. 2014 was a running back. Shh. Hall of Famer. Oh. I assume.
Barry Sanders.
No. This is the current.
Running he was back. Still active in 14, yeah.
Still active in 14.
Lynch wasn't on it.
Topped 1,000 yards for six straight seasons when he got the historic 2,000-yard campaign.
Peterson.
There we go. Adrian Peterson, AP.
Thank you.
Consider everything that happened was only half cursed because he was – well, because he was indicted on the child stuff.
Oh.
That was that year. Ooh. Had a great season. Off-the-field issues.
Casey was actually right, though.
What's that?
Barry Sanders was the alternate cover.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're not – because it was like – Wasn't that the one?
It's always an alternate cover.
Yeah, it was Madden 25.
That was Madden 25.
14, and that's why they're like, "What do we call Madden 25 now?" You just call it Madden 25.
2015.
Sherman.
Correct.
Not all
cursed.
Right.
Not cursed. Obviously, kind of hard to go off of in terms of what the numbers showed, but due to the consensus, he was not cursed that year. 2016.
What's the position?
Wide receiver.
Ooh.
Antonio Brown.
Mm-mm.
He was on one, wasn't he?
Yep. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Wide receiver 16. I don't know.
Was dominant, but okay, I'll give you one hint.
Okay.
During this season, so he's not considered cursed, had over 14,000 yards or 1,400 yards in the season, but was suspended a game for fighting Josh Norman.
Oh, damn. Who fought Josh Norman?
Yep.
I do remember this.
Oh, come on.
Who was Josh Norman on at the time?
I believe Redskins? That was the Panthers. I think it was the Panthers. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Damn it.
Giants. Wasn't a curse that year. 2017, tight end.
This is terrible because I have all these games at the
I'm disappointed. I mean, this is pretty obvious. 2017, tight end.
Oh, Gronk?
Yeah. That's cursed, by the way, too. Had a... ended up having a season injury with a herniated disc and also a hamstring injury. So that was a curse. 2018, quarterback.
Mahomes.
Wasn't cursed. This was Tom Brady.
Brady was on the cover?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Threw for 500 yards and got the MVP award of the Super Bowl. So, wait, I'm sorry. Threw for 500 yards.
That's right.
Okay, sorry. No, he threw for 500 yards, but that was the year that the Eagles beat him.
Yes.
But threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl and won the MVP award. Not the Super Bowl MVP, but the MVP award of the regular season. All right, we're almost done here. 2019 wide receiver.
This is Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, and listen, we don't got to talk about it. He was cursed.
Yeah,
okay?
A little bit.
Like, you get the man cover, you want it out of the Steelers locker room then, you go to Oakland. What? It wasn't big. Yeah, it was Oakland at the time.
He got frostbite on his feet.
Got frostbite on the feet, goes to New England. You're done.
Played
there.
One game. I think scored actually. In that
goes
game.
To Tampa Bay.
Won a Super Bowl.
Takes the but then takes off his jersey and everything, and then Bruce Arians has no choice but to let. So yeah, it was
a
curse.
A Super Bowl.
That was one of the biggest curses of all time. 2022 quarterback.
Mahomes.
Correct. Not cursed at all. Ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. 2021 quarterback.
2021 quarterback. Lamar.
This was not a curse either. Had over 1,000 yards rushing and a pretty good stat line in terms of passing as well. 2022 quarterback.
It's Mahomes and Brady.
Correct. Both of them not cursed.
Sure.
And then 2020. Well,
Tom.
2023 was John Madden. That obviously, it's, you know. Yeah. And then 2024 quarterback last year.
I played it yesterday.
This is considered not a curse either.
Quarterback. I played it yesterday. I clicked on it, mm-hmm. and dude's picture came up on my screen.
Yeah.
It's not Josh Allen.
It's Josh Allen.
It's Josh Allen.
It's, well, it's the Josh Allen of the Bills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. Quarterback, Buffalo Bills. And all things considered, like you can say, they didn't really achieve expectations, but it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
So it was not cursed. So the final verdict says that if you take all the cover athletes from 2000 to 2024, 25% of them have been cursed. Now, keep in mind, the past couple of seasons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, have not featured a curse.
It's due.
So if you're into playing percentages, if you're into the whole 25% theory,
we're due.
Christian McCaffrey might be in a bad situation.
Don't pick him in fantasy, folks. You heard it here.
I mean, I'm just saying, man.
Let me do that. Pass on him, and I'll take the chance.
I mean, is he top one? Christian McCaffrey, hands down. Not even close. Who's number two in fantasy right now they're taking?
I mean, I guess there's Jefferson?
Maybe Justin Jefferson, I guess.
If you're playing PPR, I guess.
Yeah. But no, McCaffrey's
number
one.
It's not close.
McCaffrey's number one overall.
I mean, who else is catching passes out of the running back position like
All right. Well, before we get to break here, Kamara's not.
Fell off a little bit.
Eckler fell off.
Eckler fell way off. So before we go to break here, though, I mean, listen, you've had a lot of Madden cover athletes and everything, a lot of players featured, offense and defense. Mm-hmm. Will there ever be a Jacksonville Jaguar to be featured on the cover of Madden? I get that it's going to be Trevor Lawrence probably if there is. Mm-hmm. Is there any other player that could be featured, though, that you see right now? And not even Josh Allen. I think Jalen Ramsey back in the day could have been.
Jalen could have been.
I mean, if you have Richard Sherman on it, Jalen in his prime could have been.
Possibly. I mean, if ETN goes for like 2,000 yards. I mean, something crazy's got
to
happen.
It's so hard for running back to, unless you're Peyton Hillis.
But. Trevor will be on it, by the way.
You think so?
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
It doesn't even matter. Well, it does matter what the stats say, but like, just, it makes too much sense.
Okay, but think about this, though. Burrow hasn't been on it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, Herbert, like, I don't think, I mean, to me, Burrow's kind of the surprising one.
Burrow's been up and down, though.
And he's been
like,
hurt.
First year was like the ACL. The second.
Yeah. Sure, but he's still been to a Super Bowl.
Coming off the Super Bowl year, but they didn't win. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just feel like
the 49ers
win? If they repeated and went back, he goes. He's on
no, the but he was, they were talking about him potentially winning the MVP.
Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, there's that. I don't know. I think it makes too much sense for Trevor to be on it. Like, count in the fact that, like, he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's recognizable. Like, that's, to me, the thing. Are you recognizable?
Selling Subway sandwiches.
Trevor's recognizable. Like, hey,
I mean, listen,
Gatorade commercial.
I want to sit here and say I love Josh Allen's personality. I love what he brings to the table. I love that he's here in Jacksonville for a long time. But if Aaron Donald can't get on the cover of Madden, what chance in hell does Josh Allen have to get on the cover of Madden?
Zero.
You know, like, you're talking about one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time wasn't even featured in the game of Madden.
No.
Like, on the cover.
Yeah, it don't happen. It's not going to happen.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, unless Josh Allen, like, I'm trying to think, like, what Josh Allen could do to get on the cover, man. And
nothing.
Like, you could be player of the year, it wouldn't matter.
No.
Is
TJ Watt
on
it?
Come up with a new dance or something, I guess, that gets you, like.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson hasn't been on it.
True.
Jamar Chase, like, you, there's many good players.
I mean, obviously, it's more of a quarterback.
But also, you're trying to sell the game.
Sure.
Also, like, don't get me wrong. Like, you're not, most people aren't buying it because of the cover. Well,
Peyton Hillis, though, you know.
Well, yeah, they made that mistake. Like, you know what I mean? They're not doing that again. So it's like, Josh, like, although maybe deserving, like, there's a ton of people that are deserving. It's like, yeah, I don't know if that's selling the game. That's why I think Kelsey's actually a good call. Kelsey's selling the game.
Oh, Kelsey. Yeah, I can't, like. Listen, when they announced this on Monday, they announced Christian McCaffrey giving me the cover, I was super surprised. I thought for sure it was Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about it that way, but
Like that, because if you want to get the casual alternative, like,
you would sell a ton of games to people that
Taylor
would never
Swift
play.
Taylor Swift fans would just buy, just have, like, hang
they'd
it in
never
the room.
Play it.
Never play it.
Put
just
a poster
the cover.
Instead of the manual that they put in the game, put a poster in there.
There you go.
You're sold.
Yeah, yeah. a missed opportunity, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Maybe next year a little bit. So okay. We're all agreeing. So Trevor Lawrence will be, if it's going to be a Jaguar, it'll be Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think he will be.
Last question. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence. Who gets the Madden cover first?
I think Burrow will get it.
Or Brock Purdy. No, because you're not going back to
back. You're not going back to back Niners. I'll go Burrow. Burrow will get it.
You think Burrow gets it? Mm-hmm. Nick of the daytime. See, I'm with
what
you.
What are our options
too.
Again? So Burrow.
Jordan Lawrence. Love, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. I mean, I guess you want to throw Brock Purdy, but I don't think that's going to be the case. And Trevor Lawrence.
It's got to be Burrow.
It's either Burrow or Lawrence. Like, what's a face? What's recognizable? Who have you seen elsewhere?
Yeah.
Jordan Love's sneaky, though. It's not going to be Herbert.
Well, I mean, think of all the players that come through Green Bay that haven't been featured on a Madden cover.
Has Rodgers
ever on it? Was Favre ever on it?
Favre was on it as a Jet, though.
Favre was on it.
Favre was on it
back in the day. I think Rodgers had to be on it, right?
Okay, Madden 11. There was maybe like a split cover that you could get that had him and Charles Woodson on it, evidently.
There you go.
So he's for Rodgers?
Yeah.
And then 2009 had Brett Favre.
As a Jet, though, right?
It was a Jets pack. It was, I think it was both of them.
No, Madden 9 had him as a Packer.
Yeah.
Maybe it had. Oh, wait.
Are you sure?
It had
sure?
the double cover as a Packer
Correct.
And a Jet, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, mine, he was a Jet. The game I had.
Bought the Jet one then.
Okay. So,
bought the one.
By the
I
way.
Just bought it. Here, I don't know.
But by the way, and then we'll get on. We'll take a break here real quick. So I'm just going back in time of the cover athletes. So this is wild. And I forgot this guy had the cover. Played in the division. Casey, don't cheat here. This is going to be a quick trivia question.
This is the one I had because it was Xbox. So okay. I think Xbox, he was a Jet. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Okay, this guy played in the division, was on the Madden cover back in 2008, and believe me when I say is even more forgot about, I feel like, than Peyton Hillis being on the cover.
I know who you're talking about.
Played in the
99% sure. One of the most famous college games. Right?
Oh, without...
Quarterback? Famous college plays for a national championship.
If we're being honest, my favorite national championship game of all time.
And is in the AFC South?
This guy was in the AFC South.
It's not Mariota.
The best college football championship game that I probably have ever watched. And I remember being in high school. I know exactly
it's
where I was.
It's probably the most iconic one, honestly.
Oh, Vince Young.
There you go.
Yep.
Isn't that wild?
He was on the cover as Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's right.
Vince Young.
No, they had some random ones. Like, Vince Young is a good call. Dante Culpepper was on it in like 03.
Okay. That's Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander was definitely on it.
So, I mean, see, basically what I'm looking at here is, do you have to go to a Super Bowl or at least play in one to get on the cover? Like, are we going to need Trevor Lawrence to go to the promised one?
Nah.
No, you think he's that marketable without it?
I do. Trevor,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lamar hadn't made it to one and was on a cover.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that.
Did AB play in the Super Bowl?
Peterson?
No. Antonio Brown.
With the Steelers?
With anyone?
Yeah, he won with the Bucks, but it hadn't happened yet when he was on the cover.
Okay.
Calvin Johnson, I mean.
Calvin Johnson, true. Yeah. But I think being, like, listen, McCaffrey didn't win the Super Bowl, but, like, I think if you're a skill position, it's a little different.
Yeah.
I think if you're a quarterback, they almost, like, want to tout out that you played in the Super Bowl last year, or at least you were there.
I would say the only, to me, if I was doing it, the only thing that I care about is, are they recognizable?
Sure.
Like, yeah, you got to be kind of good, right? But, like, to me, I would much rather put, like, the person that people know, like a Trevor Lawrence versus, like, Purdy.
Sure. No, I hear you. But this is why, and I kind of lean Joe Burrow more over Trevor Lawrence right now, because I think the Bengals have a better shot this year and next year possibly going to Super Bowl than the Jaguars do.
Yeah.
And I think they do put all the stake in terms of, have you been to a Super Bowl? Are you coming off of a Super Bowl run? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, we'll put you on the cover.
No, I think Burrow's next year for sure.
That's why I think it might be Burrow.
I think they just
before
need,
Lawrence.
I think they need the Bengals to do good again for them to put him on. Like, I think they're waiting. It's just you got to justify it.
All right, Nick, let's go and go to break quick, man. We reset a little bit. Come in with some more topics. We can go all around the sports world a little bit. USA played Brazil last night. Casey, you want to hear your thoughts about that? Was it a little better, or do you feel the same? How are we feeling about the U.S. men's national team with some other hot-button topics coming up next?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.